Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo?
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
All right, just after 7 a.m., all of a sudden, our text line went from why soccer and cricket are more popular than football and baseball to truck balls and Priuses. That escalated quickly. It really did.
Hey, you know what? Your vehicle is a sign of who you are. And I'm, you know what? If you own it and drive whatever you want, own it. There's nothing wrong with that. But also own that I'm going to drive over the top of you. Just own that.
Sick, bro. So no, wait, cool. Wait.
That's what I'm saying.
My truck can drive.
Whatever vehicle
yours,
you
bro.
Drive, just own that.
Hey, I own it pulling into the QFC parking lot with the windows down in my minivan blaring
Thank
the Alan Parsons
Russ.
Project.
Thank you. Own your minivan.
Russ does drive a minivan, and it is the most fitting, unfitting thing of all time.
Your car, you boys in your car seats, I remember those days.
Yeah, yeah.
Car seats are locked in, bolted in. There's just chips and garbage all over everywhere.
Popcorn's the big litterer.
Yo, it's so, emasculating to
granola
pull up
bars.
It's not emasculating if you own it.
That's right. My point, Rust.
Well, you
own it.
But you were emasculated by it?
I was. I'm just very sensitive.
I want to see a low speed chase in a Prius like that commercial has. He's still driving.
Still like, going.
It can't be high speed because it is a Prius.
Low speed.
But they're like, oh my gosh, he's been driving for 3 days now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
gas mileage.
Hey,
some people want
save
the
your
economy,
money,
man.
I'm for that. If that's you, own it.
I am too.
Just get out of my way.
All right. Don't know how we got there. Coming up this hour, we have more NBA talk with Chris Paul and James Harden finally coming through in a big way for Houston together in the same game. Off the rails, 7:45. We will discuss the man who was sued by his parents and then countersued them. That's a whole deal.
Yeah, but you're going to want to know why.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get to why the South in back East, they're clamoring for the kicks that we hate out here on the West Coast. Right now, though, it's 7:06.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
I'm cool. I'm hot.
Hey, how about this? You see this guy? How much would you pay for this? Someone donated $50,000 to be Tiger Woods' caddy for one day of a pro-am. Tiger Woods' caddy for a day. 50 grand.
Now remember, 50 grand might be like 500 bucks to us, to that guy. And I'd pay it all day long. If I had that kind of money, I would pay it all day long. I would do it for to be in LeBron's entourage, to Ronaldo's like way down the line guy.
A lot of money.
I would, whatever, Messi, whatever, I'd wear those short shorts and hang out with them all day long if I had that kind of cash.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll be at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, too.
Yeah, and it's a fundraiser. It's tax deduction, too.
Do you ask him if he wants to go to a Perkins afterwards?
No. I'm asking if he wants to go to Sizzler.
Sizzler? Why is Sizzler?
Sounded good.
Oh. Well.
Sizzler.
All right.
Right?
Well, I sound good. Maybe he could troll for chicks at Perkins like he used to do. Good old days.
Might run into Isaiah Thomas at a Sizzler.
Yeah. Yes, you may. I've never been to a Sizzler before.
What would you pay 50 grand for if you were a millionaire? Like an Uber millionaire? What would you pay 50 grand for? Tell me another reason why it would be a great donation to hang out with Tiger Woods for,
that'd be pretty
for
cool.
5 hours.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Most people pay 50 grand for 5 minutes at an auction. That's 5 hours. being with the greatest golfer in the history of the sport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be pretty awesome, especially in the Bahamas.
And you're not by yourself, too. There's going to be other people around. It's great.
Why, do you need...
Hey, give me a wedge.
Hold on, wait a minute. Do you need to have other people around to be around
Tiger
Woods?
Well, you remember, you're at a pro-am. You're with a bit of
everybody. What kind of predator do you think he is?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're in a safe space?
Yes.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
All right, well, this is not hot. This is actually terrible news. We talked about it in the injury report. D. Gordon heading to the DL. 10-day DL, fractured toe. So the replacement for Robinson Cano is hurt. Mitch Haniger goes down with it got hit in the arm with a pitch. X-rays were negative. He's day-to-day. The Mariners are cursed.
Yeah, you said that to me this morning. You said, what's wrong with the Mariners? I went, I don't know. I don't know why they have injuries. But everybody has injuries. The Dodgers have injuries. Big teams have injuries.
But you know what they do every time they have an injury? Yeah. They win in extra innings.
Yeah.
They won 3-2 against the A's in extras.
It was against the A's. So doesn't matter. It's a win.
Sure. Sure.
Keep winning.
Sure.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Well, this kind of sucks. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry tore his ACL first day of OTAs. Huge blow. They cut Antonio Gates. Said, this is our guy. He's going to be our star.
Yeah. What do you do with Antonio Gates now? Do you entertain the idea of bringing him back for his, I think it'd be his 16th year?
Adam Schefter says that is not out of the question.
Not out of the question to bring him on back. Oh. And I guarantee Phillip Rivers would like to have somebody he can throw to. Yeah, that's terrible. And this brings up the question. When you start to say how important to OTAs, well, when you lose your star tight end, OTAs. God, there's nothing worse than a non-contact injury in the offseason that sends you down. Terrible.
Also, the Eagles reportedly turned down the 35th pick from the Browns for Nick Foles. Raiders send a conditional 7th-round pick to the Jets for Christian Hackenberg. Have you seen the media war that has broken out between Mike Silver and Mike Florio?
Yes, they're very bitter at each other.
Yeah, because Mike Florio is under the impression that Mike Silver's source in that was Hugh Jackson himself.
Yeah. He's claiming that Mike Silver is Hugh Jackson's agent.
Oh, perfect.
He says everybody knows you're your agent. The Twitter war between the two journalists? Yeah.
Yeah.
Journalists.
Yeah.
Sure.
Media heads.
Yeah. Race to be first. Ugh. That's all it is. Don't want to be right. Got to be first.
And that's cool. That's cool.
Sweeping changes in the rules of the NFL. The kickoff has been changed. 5 guys on each side of the ball. They have a restricted zone now. You cannot have a wedge anymore. And 2 guys outside the hash, 2 guys in between the hash and the numbers is how it all breaks down. So they have uniform rules and no running start on kickoffs.
This might be my favorite rule change in the last 20 years of football.
Oh.
Every rule change I have felt since I've retired, well, it was in 2006, it felt like it made the game more restricted. Even though this makes the game more restricted, it still keeps the kickoff, makes it interesting, and we'll go over that in detail, too. It's going to be fun.
Rules officials also acknowledging helmet-to-helmet contact that could lead to an ejection. Mm-hmm. Does apply to offensive and defensive linemen coming out of their stances.
Yeah, I have no idea how you're going to police this and what they're going to do. Be prepared for preseason football to be very difficult to watch.
Also, the owners are expected to make a decision on how to address the national anthem protest by its players. One thing that was floated out there among several ideas, which is being criticized widely, I don't see how this is a good idea, is the home team gets to choose whether or not the teams come out for the kickoff. And if anybody chooses to protest, their team will be assessed a 15-yard penalty.
It's weird. It's strange. Remember, in the NBA, it's a rule. It's not a rule. It's an optional thing that's been built into the NFL. But I don't understand how a 15-yard penalty is going to help rectify this issue.
It does not help it at all.
It doesn't make...
That's a horrible idea to try and to fix this thing.
I don't think it's fixable, though, for the NFL right now. I don't think it is.
Do what you did before 9/11. Don't have the teams out for the national anthem.
Yeah. Simple.
That's pretty much it. And also, rotating Super Bowl sites are something that are coming soon. You will have 4. They're saying that they're trying to get 4 sites where they will have the Super Bowl consistently. Right now, it is L.A., Las Vegas, New Orleans, Well, New Orleans, if they get a stadium upgrade. And then Miami or potentially even Minnesota. And then every fifth year, they'll have a rotating site. But those four would be permanent.
I don't know about you guys out there that are listening. I don't know how much you really are entertained and excited to travel to a cold weather sport for the NFL. I think that the Super Bowl should always be warm weather, no matter what. I would be great the rest of my days if it was L.A., New Orleans, Miami, Vegas, and that's it. And then I'll throw in a Dallas something. Even Dallas, it can snow. So I want warmth. That's just me being selfish. I don't get it. I don't get it why we'd ever want to be in the cold. I don't get it. Do you want to go be in the cold and watch football? For the Super Bowl now. Remember, for the Super Bowl only.
No. This is my theory.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Bro.
Yeah, bro.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
All right. The Warriors are now even with the Houston Rockets, falling 95-92. Chris Paul, James Harden come through for Houston in that 95-92 win. The stars finally make their presence felt. That's what's hot and cool on the fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. More than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver. You won't have to wait on Area. Your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train. More on Dubs Rockets next, 7:15 on the fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Now we got to fight and really understand this is a true playoff type experience. And it's not going to be easy against a great team like Houston. So we're up for it, though.
Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors following the 95-92 loss to the Rockets, where Golden State was red hot and Steph Curry was red hot in the third quarter. As he went 6 of 10 from the field, had 17 of his team's 34 points in that third period. But the fourth quarter that followed was their worst shooting quarter of the entire year. They went 3 of 18 from the field, the Warriors did, in falling to Houston, 95-92. And you hear Steph Curry right there say, we've got a real playoff series on our hands. Mm-hmm. This will be the first Game 6 since Kevin Durant came to Golden State.
A couple things. First of all, is that a backhanded compliment by Steph Curry by just saying, yo, we got a real series? And he'd say great team versus Houston. Secondly, they shot that bad because they were done. Their legs were gone. You could see it from Draymond Green not being able to finish, Kevin Durant passing up
rim
shots.
Checked. Draymond got rim checked.
He's only 6'7". I mean, it's not like he's a giant.
That put such a smile on my face.
Hold on. Wait, only 6'7"? If you're 6'7", you should be able to dunk.
No, it's not that. I think that if your legs are gone, then your legs are gone.
My goodness, yeah.
I mean, how many games have we played? You and I sat in the fourth quarter and been like, all right, our legs are, I'm holding on for dear life.
Not never, because I usually just sitting anyways.
Yeah. You know, all
right. Well rested.
All right. Then, you know, that game at the Y, my legs were jello by the end. I got down at the bottom.
Exactly. Usually like that about at the top of the stairs.
In those 30-second stare.
But no, you're right, 100%. They were gassed, and they were done. Did that performance last night, though, that Houston got from James Harden in the first half and Chris Paul in the second half, did that show you anything or prove anything to you? Because this wasn't a game where, you know, when they won game two, they got outstanding performances from Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker, right? They didn't need those last night because their stars actually showed up. And last night, yesterday, I said, if things start going bad, James Harden's going to quit. That guy did not. He played in the context of a team basketball game and they won.
Yeah, he mentioned, I mean, you have audio of him of mentioning how important it was that, look, I didn't play very great in the second half, but this is a team basketball. He scored 30 points and he had a great signature dunk on Draymond Green. That was a facial. And Chris, I think it was Chris Webber, loved every second of that. I mean, he was just like, I love it. Leave him on his back. I mean, it was. How often did you see James Harden finish like that during the year? The regular season. I can tell you I've never seen James Harden finish like that.
He does it sporadically. He's got some
not on a Draymond Green type guy, maybe on some guys and randoms.
No, he does it a lot. I mean, you'd be surprised. James Harden dunks a lot, dude.
No, dunking, I'm not talking about dunking here.
Okay.
I'm talking about a physical finish where he goes through an attack, elevates over somebody.
It was jarring to see it because it was
that doesn't happen. He doesn't do that all the time. Now, Westbrook does that all the time, but I don't see that from someone like a James Harden. And so that was a moment where I went, oh.
Well, because you're used to seeing him in that scenario just try to draw the contact
and get the foul.
Right.
And he's adjusted his game, which I think the officials have done a better job of no calls, but he has had to adjust a little bit more in this series.
Well, and that's why you didn't see him in the second half. He went 3 of 9 from the field. They took the ball out of his hands because they knew he wasn't going to get calls in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And
that's when Chris Paul showed up.
That is exactly when Chris Paul was nowhere to be found in the first quarter.
He's the toughest guy on that court. I'll take him over Draymond Green. I'll take him over Kendrick Perkins, but he's not on the court. He's on another team sitting on the sideline in a suit. Chris Paul is a man.
The thing I hate about Chris Paul, though, when you're right, he is.
His center of gravity is the strongest.
He'll always just be like, and he'll still do the whiny palms up thing. It's like, no, that's not who you are. You don't play that way.
Well, he is, though, but he is the strong. I mean, I would put Chris Paul, and he could guard anybody. Not physically he could, but it's not going to like he could be backed down by a big time center, but his center of gravity and his old man strength is as good as anybody.
They do like the Rockets as athletic and up tempo as they play.
They played 6 guys last night.
Don't they?
6.
But Chris Paul is squatty.
But one guy for 11, 12 minutes.
I know, but I want to say realistically, but that rotation was 6 guys.
Okay. Yes, it was. But they have, look at their bodies. Like James Harden is like kind of like he's got a gut on him.
What?
Eric Gordon has. Look at him.
Have you seen those guys?
Squatty Chris Paul. Like they don't look like the guys who are the track athletes. Like
no.
They play on the floor.
I've seen. Okay, I haven't been down on the court with all of them, but when you see them up close, they're athletes.
Well, duh, Cam. I'm just saying that they don't look like
you
the other guys.
You just told me that James Harden has a gut.
Yeah,
Eric Gordon would stomp a hole in any of us right now if he wanted to come down the lane. Did you see him elevate and go 2 hands on anybody?
Yes, I do.
Just because somebody's doughy doesn't mean they can't stomp
Eric Gordon is not doughy. What are you looking at?
He's a little round.
He is like a...
He's just built differently.
Big baby stocky. Glenn Davis, by the way, he's going to jail. That's doughy.
I know.
Well, that's just fat.
But... like it's got Eric Gordon has been trimming his baby fat for years. And that's what I'm saying is that they don't look like guys who would play that style. I don't know why you're fighting on this.
I'm not fighting. I'm just trying to say that
they're not carved.
So you're not LeBron. They don't look like LeBron James. Is that what you're saying? The Warriors look more like svelte. They have wide shoulders and they're tapered. They look the part.
And the
Rockets don't look the part.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So in my mind, I hear you guys say the Rockets look like football players. They have squatty bodies and just kind of the guys that you see. And then the Warriors kind of look like something you'd make. If you could make it out of clay, you'd make them.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I can get behind that.
But they fought, and that's the first time we've seen them fight.
I was terribly – once they went down in that third quarter and the lead ballooned to about 10 again, I thought that game was over.
Well,
it was done.
Especially when you didn't have James Harden hitting shots, and you're like, "What do they do?
What do they do?"
Without Chris Paul, they wouldn't be able to do anything.
This gap. And Eric Gordon came up big. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul came up big. Trevor Ariza put on the Kyle Korver performance last night. He was diving all over the place. He
hustle points.
He may have physically assaulted Klay Thompson on that final shot that Klay tried to get, but. If you don't, it's playoff basketball. Nobody should be complaining about that.
What about the tape and the stuff on Klay Thompson with the jammed thumb or whatever, his wrist?
As concerning as the knee strain.
Yeah, but whatever that is, that's affecting him. It's on his shooting hand. That's not something you just can just say, all right, that's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
So these little bumps and bruises are now starting to wear up. If you're going to beat a team in the NBA like Golden State, do you just physically beat them up? Like, use up your fouls and physically bump him? Because it's not like Kevin Durant can handle the abuse of being physical and the officials in the NBA. That is how you win moving forward. But if you beat them up, Steph Curry can get beat up.
Yeah. I just don't think that. I agree with you. But at the same time, I don't think that Houston is the team to do that. That's just not, that's not really in their DNA to be like that. But I think that the Warriors should do the same thing right back to James Harden, though. It could be just as effective the other way.
Yeah, I think so.
As it is as it is to is would be to Golden State.
Who's tougher in that group to be able to handle it? Don't you think that Houston might be more suitable to be more physical in this in the rest of the series?
No, I think it, because of depth, it's Golden State. Because you can't play that way in if you're only playing six dudes or seven guys, you know?
That won't hold up.
No, they're all going to foul out.
But it's not like Golden State played their entire bench either. I mean, it was a track meet.
Well, they played eight guys, you know, which is you play eight significant minutes. And then I think they got somebody in a little garbage time too. But, I mean, that's pretty deep, I guess.
Yeah, because I still like Sean Livingston off the bench. He gives you a good defensive punch and he gives you that perimeter. But even he looked kind of out of sorts.
Well, and how about the former Duck, Jordan Bell?
Yeah.
He played well.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're talking
about a tough guy,
if you're talking about those guys who can come and be enforcers, Jordan Bell is that guy because his role, and we talked about this around the draft, he's in the perfect spot. Like, there's two teams where his style of play would be able to shine, and it just so happens that those two teams are playing each other right now in the Western Conference Finals because his ability to block shots, come over from the weak side and help on defense, and then be that sneaky guy running the baseline and get those open looks underneath, that he wouldn't be able to shine, say, here in Portland as well as he does at Golden State or in a place like Houston. Those up-tempo styles of play benefit him tremendously.
Yeah,
he played well for a rookie getting his first real run in this series.
Yep.
All right. Even at two, Rockets-Warriors game five is tomorrow night back in Houston. I'm excited now for the Western Conference Finals. Coming up next, we have got changes to the kickoff rule. We discussed them briefly in Hot and Cool, but let's dive in a little bit deeper. What teams are ahead of the curve and maybe saw this one coming, and how much will it change the game? Here's Rust with SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, changes are coming to the kickoff in the NFL. This is actually a big, change to the league. And dare I say,
it's huge.
But this is a change that I think we're both okay with. You say this is the best rule change since you entered the NFL. There have been a lot of them since, but the changes to the kickoff are that you will no longer be able to have a running start. So all the 10 players in the kickoff team will line up on the line where the ball is at. The kicking team must line up with 5 players on each side of the ball, so no overloading one side or the other. At least 2 players on the kicking team must be outside the numbers. At least 2 players on the kicking team must be between the numbers and the hash marks. And at least 8 players on the receiving team must be within 15 yards of the restraining line, which would typically mean between the kicking team's 45-yard line and the receiving team's 40-yard line. And until the ball is touched or hits the ground, players on the receiving team cannot cross that restraining line to initiate a block within 15 yards of where the ball was kicked. And no wedge blocks, too.
If you haven't seen it, I'm going to retweet it at Cam Cleveland. The NFL football operations does a kind of a, I know, how would you describe that old classic football representation of it? So you can see it visually about what they're going to do.
They have the X's and O's moving on down the
field. Yeah,
they're
moving and they show you the no blocking zone. It's kind of like the friend zone. You don't go in the friend zone.
Nobody likes that zone.
Nobody likes the friend zone. But this is actually a thing that you do like. It's the no blocking zone. But so why this is so good, still keeps onside kicks in play.
Right.
We need a transition. Football still needs that type of energy change where you can play some AC/DC. You can play, I don't know, some GNR, Welcome to the Jungle. You know, you did that energy kick of the kick. That's what the kickoff does. It feels like there's a momentum shift after you make a even if you make a field goal, kickers,
right,
make a touchdown, there needs to be that kind of shift of special teams and that energy kick where everybody has that. Can you imagine just kicking the field goal, then your team just getting it on the 25?
Yeah,
it's still. And here's my favorite part about this rule still staying in play. I'm an advocate for jobs. This still gives guys positions on the roster that will allow them to be specialists and keep jobs for players that want to be and can develop later in their career. So you need special teams players, and this will keep backup safeties, backup corners, backup wide receivers, linebackers. And that's good for you as a fan because these guys can now stay on the roster and adds depth.
Well, it's also good for the game too because you're not eliminating the kickoff. You're not eliminating the onside, the ability for a team to have an onside kick as well. And you're also giving those return guys a role.